بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the sharh, the explanation on the beneficial saying on the book of Tawheed. And we have reached a new chapter now, chapter number 14. The author, rahimahullah, may Allah's mercy be upon him, said, من الشرك أن يستغيث بغير الله أو يدعو غيره. To seek refuge in other than Allah or invoke others or invoke other than Allah is a part of shirk, is from shirk. Here he said from. So this indicates that this is from shirk, and that shirk is not only restricted to these actions of seeking refuge in other than Allah or invoking other than Allah. Shirk, therefore, is not restricted. Now, seeking refuge is to seek to remove hardship, to remove hardship. The generality of the title is to be restricted, as we discussed in the previous class, meaning that this is shirk in matters in which the one sought is unable to deliver, either because he is dead or absent, or the thing which is sought to be, which is sought in the request, is a matter which only Allah Himself can remove. So, for example, if a person seeks refuge in a dead person, so as to defend him, or in an absent, or in a present person to send down the rain, for example, then all of this is from shirk, ascribing partners to Allah. And if a person seeks the help from someone present, alive, in that which he is able to do, then it is permissible. Take the case when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning the saying of Allah the Most High in Surah Al-Qasas 28 verse 15, فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ الَّذِي مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ عَلَى الَّذِي مِنْ عَدُوِّهِ. And he entered the city, meaning Musa alayhi salam, at a time of unawareness of its people, and he found there two men fighting. One of his party, meaning from the children of Israel, and the other of his foes. And the man of his own party asked him for help. You see that? Asked him for help. فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ. Asked him for help against his foe. So, this is a kind of seeking help which is permissible, because this is, there is ability to do it from the present and from the living. So therefore, if you seek help from someone who is able to offer, then you must correct your tawheed by believing that the one whom you are seeking for help is only a cause. And that he has in himself no influence to remove the hardship. That is because you may depend upon him and you forget the creator of the cause. And this is infringing on the perfection of your tawheed. This is one point. The second point in which the author mentioned is to invoke others besides Allah. So therefore it is from shirk to invoke other than Allah. That is because the dua, the invocation, is worship. قال الله تعالى in Surah Ghafir, verse 60. وقال ربكم ادعوني استجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين. In Ghafir. وقال ربكم ادعوني استجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين. داخرين. In this verse, Allah called His invocation, He called it عبادتي, my worship. وقال ربكم ادعوني, and your Lord said, invoke me, استجب لكم, I respond to you. إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين. Those who scorn عبادتي, you see that? عبادتي, my worship, don't invoke me and do not believe in my oneness. So Allah called the dua عبادة. Allah called the dua عبادة. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the hadith said, إن الدعاء هو العبادة. Dua, verily, dua is worship. And dua is divided into two parts. That which occurs as worship and directing this to other than Allah is shirk. And this is the type which is associated with love, yearning, humility. This is directing this to other than Allah is shirk. The other is that which occurs, but not ibadah, but not worship. This can be directed to the created. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من دعاكم فأجيبوا. Anyone who calls you to come, to invite you, then respond. Meaning accept his invitation and his call for you to come to his wedding party, for example, or occasion. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا دَعَاكَ فَأَجِبْ. If he calls for you to come, then you accept and you go. So therefore, from this we conclude that what the author intended when he considered the invocation as shirk, this therefore refers to the first type, which occurs as worship. And this is the dua, which is the dua of ibadah and dua al-mas'ala, the dua of request and the dua of worship. Both in these cases are not answerable by other than Allah. And that's why they are considered from shirk. That's why the author meant this type, requesting or invoking, the invocation of worship, where the answer cannot be given except by Allah the Most High. The author, rahimahullah, cited the following evidences for his title. The first evidence is the saying of Allah Ta'ala, وَلَا تَدْعُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ فَإِن فَعَلْتَ فَإِنَّكَ إِذًا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. In Surah Yunus, verse 106, chapter 10, verse 106, and invoke not besides Allah any that will neither profit you nor hurt you. But if in case you did so, you shall certainly be one of the ظالمين. The ظالمين. Right. What does the term ظالمين mean? We will know, inshallah ta'ala, shortly. In the beginning here of this verse, Allah the Most High says, وَلَا تَدْعُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, and invoke not besides Allah. What's apparent from this verse, that it is directed, that the direction of this speech is to the Prophet, to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it is particular to him or general, meaning to him and other than him. That is because some of the scholars said it is incorrect for it to be directed to the messenger. That is because the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is impossible, you know, it's impossible that this may occur from him. And they said, therefore, in this respect, then the verse is based upon implication. Implication of a missing word. And the missing word is, قل, say, O Muhammad, invoke not besides Allah. But this direction of the verse in this sense is very weak and takes the verse out of its context. And therefore the correct interpretation is either that it is particular to the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, however the ruling is for him and other than him, or it is general for directing, being directed to everyone, including the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And directing something of this nature to the as in this ayah, to the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, does not necessitate that this is possible to occur, meaning that it is possible that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will invoke others besides Allah. Take for example also in another verse, as in Surah Az-Zumar 39 verse 65, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And indeed it has been revealed to you, as it was to those, meaning messengers, before you, if you join others in worship with Allah, then surely all your deeds will be in vain, and you will certainly be among the losers. So therefore the address here is to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as to all the messengers. And we know that it is impossible that this may occur to him in consideration of his situation, not in consideration of him being a human. That's different. Meaning that this is impossible to occur from him in regard to his situation, because he's a prophet messenger, as the other messengers before him. So therefore the wisdom from this prohibition is that for others to take heed and follow the same path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the sense that if the prohibition is directed to him, is directed to someone, that it does not occur and will not occur from him because of him, of his status, of his situation, then therefore by all means it is to be taken by those whom it is possible for them to do, that this thing may occur from them. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَدْعُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, and invoke not besides Allah any that will neither profit you. The dua, what is the dua? The dua, طلب ما ينفع, is requesting or seeking that which is beneficial, or طلب دفع ما يضر, or seeking to ward off what harms or what hurts. And they are of two types, as the Prophet, as the people of ilm had mentioned. The first is du'a al-ibadah, the du'a of worship. And that is the person is establishing the command of Allah. Because the one who is establishing the command of Allah, as in salah and siyam and fasting and giving charity, he intends by that the reward and to be delivered from the punishment. So his action concludes or includes the invocation by way of situation, by way of situation, and it may be accompanied by action, and this would be the dua, the spoken dua. The second type is the dua of mas'ala, the mas'ala, dua of request, and that means seeking what is beneficial or seeking to ward off that which harms. So the first type, the dua of ibadah, cannot be directed to other than Allah. And the other one, the second one, is as detailed earlier, meaning in matters where the person sought is able to, in which the second is the type where it does not occur as ibadah, as worship, then it is permissible. Like, for example, if someone asks you to come and answer his as invitation, then in this case, that is excluded from the prohibited type, which does not occur, the prohibited type, which does not occur except as worship. Whether it is by way of action, and or by way of being requested in a spoken way. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ, that will neither profit you nor hurt you. Meaning, will neither benefit you nor hurt you if you worship this entity being sought by you. So it will not, وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ, it will neither nor hurt you, it wouldn't ward off harm of you. And also it is said to mean, if you relinquish its worship, it does not harm you. It could not harm you because it cannot avenge. And this is what is apparent from the text. وَلَا تَدْعُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ, and invoke not besides Allah any that will neither profit you nor hurt you. It should not be understood from this that you go and seek those who benefit and harm you. You understand? This restriction here is not conditional. It has no meaning. Meaning, and invoke not besides Allah any that will neither profit you nor hurt you. It does not mean that it is permissible for you to invoke those who benefit you or harm you. You understand? This is only an explanation of what may be occurring, of the reality. That is because the one sought other than Allah cannot, there is no harm or benefit that would come from him or occur from him. قال الله تعالى, as in Surah Al-Ahqaf, verses 5 and 6, وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنْ يَدْعُو مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَنْ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَهُمْ عَنْ دُعَائِهِمْ غَافِلُونَ وَإِذَا حُشِرَ النَّاسُ كَانُوا لَهُمْ أَعْدَاءً وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ. And who is more astray than one who calls or invokes besides Allah? Such will not answer him till the day of resurrection, and who are even unaware of their calls, of their invocations to them. And when mankind are gathered, the false deities will become enemies for them and will deny their worshipping. Another example is like in the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:21. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Listen, this illustrates it even يعني in a clearer way. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا O mankind, worship your Lord who created you. Does this mean that isn't this as an information of reality that there is no other Lord who did not create us and those before us? Because Allah says here, all mankind worship your Lord who created you. Why? Because there is no other second quote-unquote Lord to create us and those before us. You understand? This is only to inform of the bayanun lilwaqa, a clarification of the reality itself. Contemplate the verse. O mankind, worship your Lord who created you. Why did Allah mention said here who created you? Is there any other Lord besides him? Because there isn't. But this is a clarification of the reality. Let's take another example on this, as in Surah Al-Anfal 8:24. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. Oh, you believe, answer Allah by obeying him and his messenger when he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calls you to that which will give you life. This is an explanation or a clarification of the reality. That is because the invocation of the messenger, inviting us, the messenger, all of it is what gives us life. Calls us to all of his call, all of it is what gives life. Look to the verse here. Calls you to that which will give you life. This is not restricted to that which will give you life, because all of that which he invites us for will give us life. You understand? So every restriction which is intended as a clarification of reality, then it is therefore a cause for the ruling. A cause for the ruling. Take the verse before. All mankind, worship your Lord who created you. Meaning worship him because he created you. You understand? So every restriction intended to be as a clarification of a reality, then it is what? It is. It comes as a reasoning or a cause for the ruling. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. O mankind, worship your Lord who created you. Meaning, worship him because, since he created you. And also in the verse before, answer, O you believe, answer Allah and his messenger when he calls you to that which will give you life. That is because, since he does not call you except to that which gives you life. Clear. Similarly, in this verse, وَلَا تَدْعُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ. Invoke not besides Allah those who benefit you nor harm you. Why? Since no one will benefit you and harm you. So therefore, this restriction is not a condition. Then at the end of this verse, Allah says, فَإِن فَعَلْتَ فَإِنَّكَ إِذًا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. But if you do so, you shall certainly be one of the ظَالِمِينَ. Meaning, if you invoke others besides Allah, then فإنك إذن you shall certainly be, meaning when you do that, when you do that, and this is a restriction, when you do this you will be from the those who are ظالمين. Why when we say when you do this? Because you may repent from it, so it will be removed. The description of you being a ظالم, a polytheist, a wrongdoer, oppressor, unjust will be removed, because if you repent from it. So therefore the person before doing the action is not ظالم, and after the tawbah, after the repentance, is not a ظالم. But when he commits the sin, then he is ظالم, unjust and wrongdoer. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن. He does not, the zani, the adulterer, when he commits the adultery, he is not a believer when he commits it. So he negated the faith from him, what? During the committing of the sin. During the committing of the sin, it is lifted and it returns to him when he repents. Now, the type of shirk here, which is meant, the type of dhulm in this verse, you shall certainly be one of the zalimin. The type is the type of shirk. That is explained by another verse in Surah Luqman. 31:13 في قوله تعالى إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. Verily shirk is a great injustice and wrong deed. So من الظالمين, he didn't say من المشركين, from the mushriks. Why? Because to make it clear that the shirk is ظلم. That shirk, ascribing partners to Allah in worship, is ظلم, is wrong. That is because the invoker of other than Allah, being a mushrik, is clear. But being unjust and wrong may not be clear from the verse. The second ayah, the second verse which the author, rahimahullah, cited, is in Surah Yunus. Verse 107. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ. And if Allah touches you with hurt, there is none who can remove it but He. And if He intends, listen carefully, in the beginning, if He touches you with hurt, and here, but, and if He intends any good, look at the verse, and if Allah touches you with what? With hurt. And if He intends any, what for you, any good. طيب. فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ. There is none who can repel it, repel His favor, which He causes it to reach whomsoever of His slaves. There is none who can remove it but He. There is none who can remove it but He. This negation here is a categorical negation, a negation of category. No one. This is like the saying of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةِ, in his admonition to Ibn Abbas, and know that if the entire ummah would gather so as to benefit you with something, they wouldn't benefit you with anything except that which Allah had ordained and prescribed upon you. Now, is there a difference in the two statements? And if Allah touches you, and in the other statement, and if He intends any good for you, is there a difference between He and Allah touches you with hurt and the statement if He intends any good for you? Is this just a diversification of the statement, or is there a significant difference? The answer is yes. There is a meaningful difference. That is because the things that are disliked to Allah do not fit, meaning they are not attributable to His will. They are not attributable to His irada, to His will, to His want. But rather they are attributable to His, to the effects which He creates, to the created effects. So, the touching, and if Allah touches you with her, this is from the action of Allah. But the harm, the effect is from His creation. So, Allah does not intend, listen carefully, does not intend the hurt for itself. But He intends it for other than itself. Why? Because of the good. Because of the good outcome, which depends upon it, which is entailed by it. Because there are wisdoms, magnificent and profound wisdoms in that. And in the Qudsi Hadith, there are from my slaves those whom if I make them rich, then their wealth would corrupt them. As to the good, listen to the other verse now. And if He intends any good for you, so when it came, listen carefully. And if He intends any good for you, here He's talking about good or harm, huh? He's talking about what? He's talking about the good, right? طيب. What did He say in the beginning? What did Allah say in the beginning of this statement? And if He, huh? You put the verb. And if He intends, no, we're talking about the good, intends. Why? Because good is intended for itself. You understand? Because the good is intended for itself. For it being good. Is that clear? You see the difference? This is like the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Jinn. Like in Surah Al-Jinn 72 verse 10. Listen carefully. وَأَنَّا لَا نَدْرِي أَشَرٌ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. And we know not whether evil is intended for those on earth. Is intended. The doer is mentioned. Is. Or whether their Lord intends for them. You see that in the beginning? And whether we don't know whether evil is intended. In what form it came, is intended. You see the difference? For those on earth. Or whether their Lord intends for them a right path. When the right path is mentioned, who intended this? Look at this. You see that? When the right path, or whether their Lord intends for them a right path. You see that? But when it was about the evil, what was? Not whether evil is intended. It was not attributable to Allah's action. You see that? You see that? You see the difference? Okay. طيب. Alhamdulillah. So if a person is afflicted by an illness or with an illness, Allah then did not intend this harm for itself, but rather he intended the illness, while we know that the illness harms him, but he didn't intend harming, but rather intended good, the good which is behind that, which is entailed by it. And the wisdom may be apparent in the person afflicted, or in the affliction itself, and it could be apparent in other than that, as Allah stated in Surah Al-Anfal 8:25, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. And fear not an affliction and trial which affects not in particular only those of you who do wrong, but it may afflict all the good and the bad people. And know that Allah is severe in punishment. So the important thing to remember here, it is not for us to restrict the wisdom of Allah, because this is far more comprehensive than our intellect. But we know with certainty that Allah does not intend the harm because it is harm in itself. So the harm with Allah is not intended for itself, but for other than itself. And nothing is built upon this except that which is good. However, when it comes to the good, then it is intended by itself. And Allah knows best as to His words and speech. But this is the thing which, as the Shaykh put it, rahimahullah, is clear to me. End of quote. Then at the end of this verse, Allah says, فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ. And if Allah... And if Allah touches you, وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرِّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ. And if Allah touches you with hurt, there is none who can remove it. But if He intends any good for you, there is none who can repel it, repel His favor, which He causes it to reach whomsoever He wills. And in the hadith we know, اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت. In the invocation, oh Allah, there is no one to prevent or withhold that which you give. ولا معطي لما منعت. And no one who would give that which you prevent. And so, we depend upon Allah in bringing the benefits and holding the harm and making the favors continue upon us. We know that despite the level of plots and tricks and actions to prevent the favor of Allah, then no one and no nations could stop that. يُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. There is none who can repel His favor which He causes to reach whomsoever of His slaves He will. This could refer to His favor, and this also could refer to the good. And the meaning will not change. مَنْ يَشَاءُ causes it to reach whomsoever of His slaves He will. مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Every action restricted and linked to the mashi'a, to the will, then it is also linked to the wisdom. That is because the mashi'a, the will of Allah, is not something abstract that He wills because He just wills to do merely like that. No, that is because from the attributes of Allah is al-hikmah, wisdom, and from His names is al-hakim, the all-wise. قال الله تعالى, listen to this carefully, in Surah Al-Insan 76 verse 30, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ إن الله كان عليما حكيما. But you cannot will unless Allah wills. Verily Allah is ever all knowing, all wise. And in this verse Allah says at the end, there is none who can repel his favor which he causes it to reach whomsoever of his slaves. This slaver here is a general one, and it comprises the good of this life and the hereafter, and the good of this life also touches the kafir, the disbeliever. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And he is the oft-forgiving, most merciful. الْغَفُورُ, the oft-forgiving. And مَغْفِرَة, forgiveness, means سَتْرُ الذَّنْبِ وَالتَّجَاوُزُ عَنْهُ, means shielding the sin and pardoning on it. It's taken from the Arabic المغفر. المغفر. And that which is taken as a shield from the arrows. And in the مغفر, this shield, there is shielding and protection. And الرحيم is the one who is all most merciful. And the Rahmah is an attribute which fits his majesty and which entails goodness and favors and bounties. The evidence from this verse 10:107, وَلَا تَدْعُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ. And no, in the verse of Surah Yunus, Surah Yunus 106, and invoke not besides Allah any that will neither profit you nor hurt you. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alerting his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that anyone who invokes others besides Allah, then it will not benefit him nor harm him. And in the other verse, if Allah touches you with hurt, there is no one who can remove it but he. These are the points of evidences, meaning don't therefore seek others besides Allah in that which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can deliver. The third verse which the author cited is from Surah Al-Ankabut, chapter 29, verse 17. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لَكُمْ رِزْقًا. Verily those whom you worship besides Allah have no power to give you provision. فَابْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقِ. So seek your provision from Allah alone. So they worship these idols from trees and stones and the others. And these idols don't possess provisions for them. Never they do. If they invoke them until the day of resurrection, it would not bring them not even a wheat or barley seed. And it would not ward off any harm, illness, poverty or so from them. So if these idols and these entities whom they worship besides Allah do not possess provision, then the one who possesses that is Allah. And that's why he said, فَابْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقِ. So seek the sustenance and the provision from Allah alone. Because what is with Allah never ends. As Allah stated in Surah An-Nahl 16:96, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. And whatever is with you will be exhausted, and whatever with Allah of good will remain. So therefore seek the provision, since it is from Allah, not with other than Allah. وَعْبُدُوا, and at the end of the verse, and worship Him, meaning humiliate yourself in obedience, because the ibadah is derived from ta'bid, which means tadhlil, making things, humble. And in terms of road, which is made for people to walk and make it possible to use as a walking path, trees and harmful objects are removed from it. That is because if you humiliate yourself to Allah in obedience, then this is from the causes of rizq, of provision. So humility is obedience, and it is from the causes of rizq, of provisions. قال الله تعالى in Surah At-Talaq 65:3, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And he who will provide him from sources he never could imagine, and whomsoever puts his trust in Allah, then he will suffice him. So Allah ordered that we seek the provisions from him. Then he said, wa'budu. It means that the manifestation of worship is from the seeking of the provision. Why? Because the worshipper, when he believes that the one who fears Allah, then he will find for him ways of deliverance from his difficulties and would provide him from where he never thought and imagined, then his worship therefore entails seeking, you know, his situation and worship, his situation would be seeking, or it entails seeking the rizq, the provision from Allah. وَشْكُرُوا لَهُ, and be thankful to him. Why did he say to him? This is an indication for what? For sincerity. Meaning, give gratitude and thank Allah for his favor and make that to him alone. Because this is from him. And that is because the one who thanks may thank Allah for the continuity of the favor, and there is no harm in this. However, him thanking Allah and the, as a consequence, the favor continues with him, that is more perfect and better for the favor to come as a consequence for one's being grateful to Allah. Then that is better, certainly. So therefore, be thankful to Allah. And there, your intent to continue, to have this favor on you continuing, this follows from what? From you being thankful to Allah. What is the shukr, being grateful to Allah or thankful to Allah? It's interpreted to mean establishing the obedience to the one who bestows the favors. And they said that this exists in three things. In the heart, and that is to attest in the heart that this favor is from Allah. So the person sees the favor of Allah upon him. قال الله تعالى in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 53, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. And whatever of blessings and good things you have, it is from Allah. And the greatest favor is the favor of Islam. The greatest favor is the favor of Islam. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Hujurat, chapter 49:17, يمنون عليك أن أسلموا قل لا تمنوا علي إسلامكم بل الله يمن عليكم أن هداكم للإيمان. They regard as favor upon you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, that they have embraced Islam. Say, count not your Islam as a favor upon me. Nay, but Allah has conferred a favor upon you, that He has guided you to the faith, if you indeed are true. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated also in Surah Al-Imran 3:164, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ 164, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ الآية. Indeed, Allah conferred a great favor on the believers when He sent among them a messenger from among themselves, reciting unto them His verses and purifying them to the end of the verse. The second place of being grateful is the tongue, and that is to mention in praise upon Allah and attesting to His favors and not denying that, not in the way of arrogance and false pride and haughtiness. A person speaks of his wealth in order to break the feelings and the feelings of the poor, break his heart. No, but as praising of Allah. And this is permissible, as in the story of the blind man from the children of Israel, when the king informed him about the favor of Allah. He said, yes, كنت أعمى, I was blind, فرد الله علي بصري, and Allah restored my sight to me, وكنت فقيرا, and I was poor, فأعطاني الله المال, and Allah gave me the wealth. So this is known as mentioning the favor of Allah upon oneself. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam spoke about the favor of Allah, which Allah gave him, and that is the absolute leadership over mankind. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said in the hadith reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim from Abi Huraira radiyallahu anhu, said, Ana sayyidun nasi yawm al-qiyamah, I am the leader of mankind on the day of resurrection. The third place is the third place constitutes the body parts, that the person uses them in obedience to the one who bestowed favors upon him, and in accordance with the specific favor upon the person. For example, being grateful to Allah for His favor of knowledge upon you. This means you act by the knowledge and you teach it to people. Also, being grateful to Allah for the favor of wealth He gave you, then it means you spend it in the obedience of Allah and you benefit people in that. Being thankful to Allah for the favor of food upon you, then you use it in that which is created for. And that which is it's created for, and that is the nutrition of your body. So you don't build from dough a palace, for example. It is not created for that. Then at the end of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, to Him you all shall return. We will return to Allah, and He is the one who is going to recompense us on the matters related to His commands, worshipping Him, the command to be grateful to Him, and the command to seek the sustenance from Him, as in this verse. The evidence for the title of this chapter from this verse of Surah Al-Ankabut, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ رِزْقًا فَابْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقَ 29:17, those whom you worship besides Allah, لا يملكون لكم رزقا, they don't possess, have no power to give you provision, فابتغوا عند الله الرزق. So seek your provision from Allah alone. So the poor asks Allah's help to save him from poverty. And Allah is the one who deserves to be thanked. And if these idols, they don't possess the provisions, then how come then you seek their help? The fourth verse which the author cited is Surah Al-Ahqaf, verse 5. قال الله تعالى ومن أضل ممن يدعو من دون الله ما من لا يستجيب له إلى يوم القيامة. And who is more astray than one who calls, invokes besides Allah, such as will not answer him till the day of resurrection, and who are even unaware of their calls, invocations to them. Meaning there is no one more astray than the one who does this. What is then astray? What does the dalal mean? It means to go away, deviate from the path, from the right path. And this exclamation came in the form of negation, then it is stronger than mere negation, because it changes the negation into a challenge. It means, show me someone who is more astray than the one who invokes other than Allah. So therefore this involves tahaddi, challenge. And this is more profound than just saying no one is more astray than the one who calls, because this is negation. But here, and who is more astray than the one who calls, this is a negation filled with the meaning of challenge. من لا يستجيب له, such as will not answer him till the day of resurrection. Meaning if he stays, his life extends all the way till the end of this life, invoking those whom he invokes besides Allah and those who will not answer him. Therefore there will be no answer, because they cannot answer him. قال الله تعالى in Surah Fatir, verse 14, chapter, it should be 35, 14, Fatir. قال الله تعالى إن تدعوهم لا يسمعوا دعاءكم ولو سمعوا ما استجابوا لكم ويوم القيامة يكفرون بشرككم. If you invoke or call upon them, they hear not your call, and if in case they were to hear, they could not grant it or request to you. And on the day of resurrection, they will disown your worshipping them. And none can inform you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like him who is the all-knower of each and everything. Now, listen to this carefully, please. من لا يستجيب. Go to our verse. So call you, O Muhammad, upon or invoke Allah, making your worship pure for him. No. Back to our verse of Surah Al-Ahqaf, 46:5. And who is more astray than the one who calls, invokes besides Allah, such as will not answer him? Men. And who is more astray than men who calls besides Allah, such as will not answer him? Now, I want you to focus on, think of this, such as will not answer him. This min, the article min, is intended, in its usage, is intended for the intellectual person, the person who the one who understands. So yet they are worshipping, listen carefully, yet they are worshipping idols and trees. And are the question for you, are the idols and the trees and the stones, are they from those who comprehend? Question for you. Do they comprehend? No. So how then we understand this? Such as will not answer him. That is because, listen to the answer, that is because when they worshipped these idols from stones and trees and idols and stones, what? They addressed them as what? As they address those who comprehend. Isn't it? So therefore, in this verse, they are addressed as entailed by their claim. Why? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use this? Because this is more profound in establishing the proof against them that they invoke those whom they consider as what? Able to comprehend, yet they don't answer them. And this is from the eloquency of the Quran. This is from the eloquency of the Quran. Because the address to them is as entailed by their situation in order to establish the proof against them. Because if it is said, you know, if it is said such will not answer, they would say, well, there could be an excuse in them not answering because they are not what? From those who comprehend. So therefore, they were addressed as entailed by that which they claim, because this is more profound in establishing the proof against them that they are invoking those whom they think as people of understanding, or those who from those who comprehend, yet they don't answer them. Then in the next part, who are even unaware of their calls? And who is more astray than one who calls, invokes besides Allah, such as will not answer him till the day of resurrection, and who are even unaware? Tayyib. Does this mean they and who? Does this refer who here? Does it refer to the idols? And so the meaning would mean, and who are even unaware of those whom they call them? Or does this who refer to those who invoke them in general? The more profound meaning is that these idols are unaware of the calls of those whom they worship them. And therefore this meaning will be stronger in that these idols will not benefit them in this life and in the hereafter. And in the next part of the verse, وَإِذَا حُشِرَ النَّاسُ, and when people will be gathered on the day of resurrection, كَانُوا لَهُمْ أَعْدَاءً, and when mankind are gathered, it refers to whom? This comprises now both it comprises the worshippers and the objects of worship will become enemies, and also it comprises that the objects of worship will be enemies to the worshippers. This comprises both, and this is from the eloquency of the Quran. The point of evidence in this verse is the saying of Allah, من لا يستجيب له إلى يوم القيامة, such as will not answer him till the day of resurrection. So there is none besides Allah that will answer you until the day of resurrection. So why should you then go and seek them besides Allah? So this nullifies the attachment between the sought and the seeker in this relationship between the worshippers and the objects of worship.
So the one who comes to these sites of the so-called saints, like that of Badawi or the Suqi in Egypt, and he says, help, help, that avails them not, or avails him not. But the person may be tested such that the help he sought may occur at this place, not by the occupant of the place. And there is difference between the two. What occurs at the place, and this could be a testing for the person, when he invokes at this site and he's answered. There's a difference between that and between the occupant of the place answering him, because that is impossible. So this occurs as testing. Like, for example, if a woman invokes Badawi to become pregnant, and when her husband makes intercourse with her, she becomes pregnant, and before she wasn't able to get pregnant. So we say, the pregnancy here did not occur by way of invoking Badawi, but by way of testing at the site place when she invoked Badawi. That is because of Allah saying, من لا يستجيب له إلى يوم القيامة, they invoke that whom cannot answer them until the day of resurrection, or answer until the day of resurrection, meaning that is impossible to occur, meaning by the those invoked upon besides Allah, or like going to the Jilani in Iraq or Ibn Arabi in Syria and seeking, invoking them. There is no benefit there. If the person who does this stays until the day of resurrection invoking them, he's not going to be answered by them. And what is strange, that it is in Iraq, they say that we have the Hussein, and so they circulate his grave and ask him and invoke him. And in Egypt, they say we have also al-Hussein, and Syria the same. This is foolishness on their part and misguidance in the deen. And the general common Muslims may not be blamed for that in reality, but the blame is upon those people of knowledge, the people of knowledge from the scholars and from other than the scholars. It's their duty, meaning that they should call for the clearance and the clarification of these matters and warn the people regarding the seriousness of it. As to the common Muslims, if they are faced with a situation where they trust the caller or the scholar, and they trust his ilm, but they reject what he presents them, and also they understand what he presents them, but they still reject that on basis of desire, then in this case they have no excuse to say we are not blamed. Wallahu ta'ala a'la wa a'lam, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.